Supervisor Nordegan?
Present.
Stack?
Here.
Belsky?
Here.
Caro?
Excused absent.
Okay. O'Day?
Here.
Stocker?
Here.
Thomas?
Here.
I have no comments, I guess, other than saying that we want to, you know, keep things moving along so we can get everyone's questions and then they have questions. I know that most of my questions are going to be clarified just to ask about information, but I'm sure there's others who have other, other information they want to share or anything like that. But again, this is a budget meeting and we want to keep things focused. Any other supervisors?
We have to remember to use our mics.
I'm sorry?
We have to remember to use our mics.
I'm sorry. No. That's it?
Yeah. I know, amazing, isn't it?
Any comments from you from governance? This is your first time in this process. Have you been to any of the other meetings at all? Okay. We encourage you to get to the finance meetings as well. Then they do their budgets. It's a little bit different, but it's a lot of the same too. So, okay. Anybody else? No. Okay. Any citizens' comments? Any citizens' comments? Seeing no citizens' comments, I guess we will start with the hearing about the budget process. University of Wisconsin Extension is the first on the agenda.
Before we go into UW Extension, I could just go over the first two pages, which are more a summary of the pages, which will lead into more detail in the packet. The first page is a high-level summary of all the DPW operations, the operating expenses, the levy, the bonding, and the ARPA funding that Public Works has received or had. Jim always had that for the current budget. In this year's budget, I thought it was beneficial to add the prior year, because as you can see, a lot of the percentages are exactly the same from last year to this year. Not much has changed besides some of the increases that everybody knows about, the comp study changes, some of the personnel transfers, and then our revenue is just up mostly because of the GTA funding that we'll kind of talk about in a few weeks. At the bottom of the page, you'll see the full-time equivalent comparison. 2010 shows on there just to show how we've kind of actually decreased in full-time equivalents since 2010, yet the campuses have expanded in square footage and everything like that. It does show two positions in golf. One of those positions was approved in the April meeting, so it's not being proposed here. Although it is the same position, it's only one being proposed within this budget. The current position, it was intended kind of to be split between Brightdale and Parkside. With the such high demand between golf that we've been receiving, he's spending more time at Brightdale right now, whereas he still needs some relief at Pets, and that's why you're seeing this proposed. The other position is actually just a transfer into planning and development. These come from the health department. Their FTE count would be 1.5 less in the transfer into planning and development. And we'll speak a little bit more on that when we get into the department. If you flip to page 2, this is another kind of high-level comparison, what it takes each one of our departments and compare one year to the next, showing the increase at the bottom. I threw some kind of quote-unquote key notes at the bottom. Which the first one kind of explains that $82,000 is the difference between 1% increase or decrease in the levy. In UW Extension, although not part of Public Works, we still encompass into our budget. Theirs makes up 0.6%. It's kind of misleading when you see the levy increases at the bottom, and under UW Extension, you see 26%. That is only because last year in the budget, kind of show the budget that you're about to see tonight. The last little budget point has to do with I like to kind of call it like a restructure within the finance department budget in regards to public works. In the budget lines, you guys may even just skip over it within the personnel line. There's an interdepartmental charge line, which is actually taking money out of finance department and putting it into the public works department or whoever's department that finance position is allocated for. In the previous year's budgets, there had always been certain positions that just stayed in finance for whatever reason or the other. This year, we're proposing to take all of the public works positions out and divide them amongst the divisions, which has a twofold benefit. It slightly increases the admin percent that we can charge, that we report to the highway, and they calculate out amongst all the counties, and then give everybody a percent rate to charge on the invoice billing and other things like that. The bigger one is we now have some allocation to golf, which we didn't before, which comes out to almost $75,000 of levy that is a complete save. It's not a transfer, it's not anything, it's a legit savings of $75,000 of levy. And with that overview, I will transition right into the UW extension budget. I will say this budget was passed unanimously. On Wednesday night was the budget, or the preliminary hearing. The first account that you see on page 3 is the office account. Not much change between 2023 and 2024. The salaries position is still there. This is the part-time seasonal position that helps maintain the guard path in the walking area. Actually got me, Shelley, and Matt Serino actually got a nice little walkthrough of the area because actually it's even me, we're just beautifying it, making it a nicer location to kind of walk and give some educational. I didn't actually realize that through what DJ does in UW Extension is that he's actually doing a study that helps not only statewide but nationwide. It's only one of two studies in Wisconsin actually. That takes into account invasive species and native species and what does good in certain climates and weathers and different things like that. So it's actually something kind of cool kind of, that represents Kenosha County, especially in the harbor, different things like that. But that's all just said to show that we haven't changed our position. We still like to keep help in maintaining all that, to keep it looking nice out there. The other only real increase is what you'll see in the other professional services, the 52-1900 account. Again, we broke it out. What was originally proposed was 214-500, and then it was re-offset with the highway dollars. That's at 44-900. That's how we broke it out on a different line. And then in 2024, it's 221,236 with an additional $500 to complete that year report. So if you flip over to page 4, this gives you the breakdown that I think you guys are also commonly used to of the cost per FTE for each one of the positions held there. If the position is not filled, we don't pay for it. Currently, there are two vacancies, one an agricultural educator and one a positive youth development educator, but both are being, applicants are the recruiting is out there for people to apply. I don't know why I can't think of the word, but is there any questions on this office account before?
I have a question on why professional services has gone up $52,000.
So if you actually took the 169 and the 44 and put it together, it's actually one account. We just broke it out on here so you can specifically see the amount that the highway dollars funded when the budget discussions were still happening in April. And the community development educator was actually cut in the finance meeting, and then there in 2023. It was just there as part levy and part highway revenue to help offset that.
Okay, so we got money from highway to supplement the professional services.
Correct. There was a surplus of GTA funds that we didn't realize until after the budget had been submitted. So then in the discussions or one of the meetings, it was proposed to have that part of those extra funds offset that position that was cut.
So Chris, what was the actual for professional services for UW?
The total was 215, but the actual dollar figures in the budget or the
actual
spend?
I'm asking last year's actual, as it stands right now. This year, 2023.
And as in budget, 215, 250.
Okay, and that's how much of that have we spent?
Yeah, give us a second.
$176,000.
What is it?
Other professional services are projecting $176,000 this year. Well, other professional services, $175,000, sorry.
So why are we budgeting so much more if we're not spending it?
Some of the positions have been vacant, so you're not going to see the actual count of a full year of spending.
Okay.
So like the agricultural indicator, I know, has been vacant for a portion of the year. The community development position was vacant for a portion of the year. So because it's not filled, we actually don't spend it. Those dollars that are budgeted go back into the general fund.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right. Thank you.
Is there any other questions in regards to the office or positions? We'll flip over to page 5. This is their program, their UW extension programs, like the MasterCard classes and things like that, and their after school program. I kind of lumped them in together because they are both offset with revenue. So whatever they make, they look allowed to spend. And that's honestly pretty much that. They're not allowed to spend any money that they don't offset with revenue. There is carryover that they have where they've made more revenue than what they've spent, and that carryover from year to year in case there are instances where there's something that comes up that they want to do or buy or whatever that they could use. But overall, it's money in, money out.
Questions?
Finalizes UW extension.
That's a good question. I don't know if we need a motion to approve every single one of these.
In the past, I've always done it as a divisional. That's why I approved it. So I'm not making a motion.
We have a motion to approve by Supervisor Stock. Is there a second?
Second.
Second by Supervisor O'Day. Any further discussion? Youth and governance, how would you vote to approve this part of the budget?
Aye.
Any members of the committee?
Aye.
Okay, passes unanimously.
Aye. We will move on to planning and development on page 6. So here, comparing the first line of personnel between 2024 and 2023, do see a significant increase. This is all transfer dollars besides the annual increases and what you've seen with the comp study. Roughly 130,000 of this is transfer the position from the health sanitary planning and development. This position was actually going to be proposed last year, the transfer, except there was a little bit of a conflict of interest in the hiring of Shelley. So it was revamped this year. Some type of conflict between what they do and what her husband does. reason that these are being proposed is they were originally in planning and development back 2007-2010-ish era. There was a change in like the health requirements where they needed to log more inventory. There was a state requirement change, and Andy can obviously go into a whole lot more detail than I can. But they finished their inventory. These positions are intertwined with P&D. They work with them daily, not as much with the health department. So these positions are much better suited to be in planning and development next to the people that they're working to on a daily basis, as opposed to the health department where not as much. Andy, if you want to go ahead and explain that a little bit better than I can.
Sure. So back in 2010, we had the Maximus study that indicated what this role should be. They showed that it should be 1.89 people. We had 2 people. And there was some thoughts that the positions being semi-related to the health sanitarians, these are environmental sanitarians, that they could cross over into health, and then maybe that extra time could be utilized doing health things. But some of the things that was mentioned at the time, I guess, came into fruition where the state had required counties to inventory every septic system that was ever put in place in the county, and then have them do maintenance requirements on that. And so the extra time got eaten away, and so the health department really wasn't getting any benefits. So basically, the 2 sanitarians just ended up being health. So now there's 1.5, and we're looking to bring that back to planning and development, because again, he works in our office every day. We get, you know, zoning permit, a sanitary permit, and building permit, they all go together. And so it just seems to make sense to have it back.
So that's what the additional sanitary is, just coming back from the health department, is that what you're saying?
Correct, right. And with that, and I'm sure Chris will tell you, is that the revenue that comes in from the sanitary for all the permits comes with it.
Okay. Thank you.
Okay. Yes.
Questions?
Much better to put than I
can. So, in regards to that $70,000, then, is that based upon, since we don't have a reflection in the 2023 budget for that, is that what it usually is in the past then?
Correct.
Okay. All right, thank you.
And as Andy kind of notated there, the extra $120,000 to $30,000 increase is offset with the $70,000 of revenue that should be brought in for those services as well. The additional roughly $100,000 is one of the positions that I talked about earlier that was in finance and is now moved into one of the public works positions. This is for the admin assistant that is within planning and development. It is simply taking her salaries and benefits and moving it from the finance budget into the planning and development budget. The only other change that is worth kind of notating here is with the building services, inspection service that just started last year, we kind of threw out a ballpark number of what we thought we may see, which was, I believe, $145,000-$150,000. We're now kind of more so seeing closer to $75,000, so we've reduced what we would see in both the revenue and the expense by the same amount. So it's a net of zero, but just so when you're looking at it, you see inspection services go from $145,000 to $75,000. You also see the same thing in the revenue. And that is the kind of spiel for the operating there.
Yeah, I have a question on the contracted services, the basically $248,000, is that to like one firm or multiple firms or individuals? How is that broken down?
Like roughly $200,000 of that is to SewerPAC. That's the contract that Time and Development has South Pike Branch restoration project. There's nothing in 2024, but for desperate purposes of showing it here, we do still have it on the books, 2025, 2026. We were supposed to get a 60% a plan back from the Army Corps, except they're having an extremely difficult time trying to keep the same personnel. So the timelines of when we were supposed to get these numbers are continually pushing back, which is why you see this project also push back, because it's just the trend that we're seeing there.
I do have a question. This one has to do with workers' compensation. I think it's every department. We see our salaries are going up. Of course, that affects FICA, retirement, medical insurance, life insurance, times that it goes down. But how come our workers' compensation is going down when everything else is going up? Do we get a better comp rate somewhere? Experience?
So we do an allocation. We did, two or three years ago, we went to a new allocation method.
Okay.
And phased that in over a three-year period. So overall, workers' comp is a little down this year. So, however, with that allocation, you'll see different effects for each department overall.
Correct me if I'm wrong, Barbara, but that money that we don't spend that goes in every year gets carried forward into that fund, correct?
It lapses to the general fund.
Right, and there's a surplus based on what we're spending in the past in that fund, and that was another reason we could decrease that amount.
You can budget less based on past history.
Thank you.
And it looks like when all things zeroing out here, if you will, that the levy increase basically is coming from the increased salary more than that accounts.
Yeah.
It just seems to be balancing off.
Ooh, correct. I should have notated with that on the front page. I think they showed that a 29% levy increase. Almost all of that is just transferring from one other division where they're finding their health into here.
Right. So, you said where was those positions at before? They were in transfer over.
The 1.5 was in health, and the other one was coming from finance.
It was where?
Finance.
Finance. Okay, great. Anybody else have any questions on this? Are you completed with this?
Sorry. Yeah, if you want to jump to page 8, these are kind of like little mini divisions within planning and development. Not much change between 2024 and 2023, other than in the board of adjustments, some of the dollars that are offset by levy and the per diem and FICA and mileage have dropped just slightly, $2,000. The rest are all offset with revenue. Any expense that they plan on spending needs to be offset with revenue. If they get more, there is some carryover that happens with these accounts as well. And that's in regards to the four top ones, board of adjustments, tree planting, pre-development, and land and water. The other two are for parks when we get there, and the other bottom one, civic centers for facilities. And I did forget to say, this budget also passed unanimously at the VF meeting as well.
Any questions?
split between see them start to kind of creep back up. Obviously, when COVID hit, everything went way down and started to budget down to fit that narrative. They're kind of going back up now, so we're just naturally budgeting at what we've seen. And then the building insurance, that's a fixed number that's provided and allocated from finance, and that has come up. In regards to the revenues, jail and traffic fine income decreased on historical data, parking structure revenue decreased on historical data, and the safety building rental income, we typically see about a 3% increase that we charge back to the city in joint services, and that again is the same percentage that we proposed here. On page 10, it's kind of a little better breakout between the facilities pages that you see. In the budget book, it goes Civic Center, PSP, and Human Services, and we just break that out for easier viewing purposes for you guys. And that is kind of the spiel of operations. If there's any questions on operations.
I just have one question, might lead to another. You referenced the insurance on the properties. Do we have a cumulative value of what all the property where we have buildings and structures on what that value is, and how will we determine what the replacement value might be, or if there's a fire or something like that?
Sure. So overall, insurance company is placed on all our buildings, but I do know that they have a replacement cost value that they use for premium value, and that's what they base. That's what they base their premium on.
Do they evaluate that every so often? Or is it automatically adjusted for inflation and other types of things? How is that?
They adjust for inflation and that sort of thing. There are underwriters do that. Recently, we changed, in the last 5 years, we changed insurance companies, and then they actually, after the first year they quoted, they came out and did a physical inspection of every building to make sure that their valuations matched up with what they saw.
We'll go to page 11. You're now seeing the capital improvement plan. The first page 11, is the facility Civic Center. My plan is to kind of just notate what's changed between the August meeting and what you're currently seeing, which the emergency siren, we increased 5,000. This was just based off of the original quote that we had. We didn't include the electrical thing that we're going to need to be ran into it, since that would be done not within the actual purchasing of the siren itself. So we increased that 5,000. what are you asking exactly in regards to the 58?
Well, it's 220,000 this year, and I don't know why it was only projected to be 25,000 this year. It's 10 times higher almost.
Oh, okay.
So we got the order stuff that didn't come in, or we pushed off because we couldn't get it, or whatever.
Oh, you're looking at specifically 2023 actual to budget?
Yeah.
So in 2024, the 220 is this radio system redundancy.
Which one?
Facility 10, the radio system redundancy.
Okay. Right.
That's something that's unique to that
sure.
account.
Well, I don't have a problem with it. That was one of my questions.
No.
Specifically, it was significantly higher
yeah.
than last year. And
I thought that's what you were asking, but then I wasn't sure if you were asking our actual dollar spent. And I was like, are we talking budget or are we talking actual dollar spent?
Yeah,
no, yeah.
yeah.
That's why it's up. Typically, you see like utility cars or like small mowers or something in this line. You typically aren't seeing a radio system redundancy, which is again the brains of all the tower operations. It's more of an equipment than it is a building,
right?
So that's what you see there.
Okay. And then purchase, plan, design, and construct. That's just our internal cost to do certain projects, and this is going to be obviously in our facilities. That's the last line in that Fund 11, 58, 22, 50.
Yep, so that is the Civic Center development, 50K, and then
because again, we adopted a $250,000 budget for 2023, and it looks like we're only going to be spending $50,000 of that projected total. So I didn't know if any of that 270 was done say carry over and other projects goes into the general fund, but
right, and then previous year, typically that Civic Center Development Fund is a little higher, which was made up a lot more of the 2023 budget.
Yeah.
This year, without actually dropping into what the exact project is, I can't tell you what.
I mean, 2022 was fairly significant, so I just assumed that it was going to, we assumed the same thing last year. That was going to be close to the same thing, 250 for this year, but again, we're only spending, it looks like it was about 50,000 for that.
Yeah, so right now, in that Civic Center Development Fund, we don't have anything specifically planned for besides the demolition of Brookside.
Okay.
So those funds are going to carry over. So that's why you're not seeing the projected actual being high, because we don't have anything on the radar at this moment.
Okay.
And that's also why you're seeing a lower projected or proposed dollars for 2024 going into that fund.
Yeah, I guess last year when we were sitting here, then if we didn't think we were going to have anything in the Civic Center, why didn't we budget so much? I can't look at Shelly because she wasn't here back then. Go ahead, Barna.
The only thing to remember too is each one of these are project specific. So even if the projected is, say, 50,000, we got 200,000. It's probably because that project is only one for
complete. And again, it'd be interesting to know if that was the case here, but even if it wasn't, it may be project specific, and if it takes 2 or 3 years, we would put that amount in each year, would we not? So if we had a design, whatever we're doing, a project that was going to be a year or two of designing, possibly redesign, going back in and all that, we would put those budgeted amounts in each year, would we not?
Yeah.
We wouldn't expect anything to carry over because
this account a lot of times is the properties that come out of nowhere that the county becomes interested in purchasing and needs funds available to purchase. A lot of it you've seen recently in that specific courthouse Civic Center campus with some of those buildings with towers and other different things like that. If they come to us, it's a heck of a lot cheaper if we go to them, so then we kind of keep this pool of money set aside for those instances that happen. The one that happened before that we had initially planned to was to actually buy the Brookside House, but we were able to kind of move funds within that division to buy it right then and there, and then the money from 2023
plans in place to start spending that money. Otherwise, there's another $200,000 next year.
So the only $50,000 that is going to that fund, the other $220,000 is this housing placement project, facilities 11 that you see, that is actually offset with reserves. So the $270,000 isn't necessarily going to nothing. There is a specific plan in place for $220,000 of that, and that's in facilities 11.
Great. No, fair enough. It was just a question. Anywhere near that this year. Okay.
I have a question, Steve.
Go ahead.
Thank you. When I reviewed the sheriff's budget, with Deputy Sheriff Miller, I discussed the emergency siren with him and had to make a couple calls to Deputy Chief Tilton of the Fire Department and then Lieutenant Horace Staples. And while I acknowledge that a siren is needed, I was given the map. There's a lot of overlay as far as sirens go and where it's going to be placed. And so question number one, and I don't know if this would go to facilities, but have we looked into auctioning off the larger, the old analog siren? Because my understanding from Lieutenant Staples is that it's sitting out in the barn out here somewhere, just sitting there, because that's what they did with it. It's perfectly functioning, working fine.
My understanding in talking to Sergeant Hannah about the siren is that they kind of have that to use, like, harvest parts from for some of the other sirens that are up that are the same exact model, because that's part of the issue, is that the model is so old and not made anymore that the parts are harder to get. So it's likely sitting there until something was wrong with another one, and then they would like to take the parts from that and replace them on the other.
And so then are we looking at the same size siren to go up, or a smaller one so there's not so much overlay?
There is two versions of sirens. There's a 50 grand version, I can't tell you the specifics of the siren, and then a smaller version, which is this 30 grand one that's being proposed.
Okay. And where is it going to be placed then?
If I can add, so right now we are not looking at where it used to be on the 60th Street Fire Station. Our intent is not to have a station there. We are actually looking to add it near our tower on 60th Street near Nash Park, which the overlay area, Sergeant Hannah had reviewed and thought that would be a better location. So we are currently looking at easement requirements and restrictions on that site as being an alternate for the siren.
And then is there a plan? I mean, since these things are really outdated and there's a lot of overlap, at some point, are these going to be reviewed and assessed to make sure? Because we've got places out in the county that they're dead zones. I mean, if you look at the map, I think it needs to be reevaluated, and we need to look at maybe upgrading. So I don't know if that...
We can put that on meeting.
Put it on? Okay.
It's not a problem to discuss here.
Okay. Just so that we don't lose sight of that.
No, yeah, I haven't talked about the layout of it with Sergeant Hannah, but we did talk about the replacement plan, and if one is needed in the near future, it's on there.
This one is smaller, and that's why it's $35,000.
Correct.
Okay, thank you.
Yeah, thank you. So this question has to do more with, I'll reference three things where we underestimated the cost of something, and then the job could be completed or had to have money taken from some other aspect that was bonded and then applied to that. You know, there's money in here for bonding at Brookside, not this specific one, but for public works in general, where they had to do the roof, and now we're going to borrow another $240,000, I think, is the number to complete the roof. We couldn't complete the piping at Brookside because it was underestimated. We were $70,000 over on a project at Kempler. It was $90,000 or somewhere right around there originally. How, on the more critical aspects here, what confidence should we have that they're estimated correctly now? Because probably some of these bids came in early summer, late summer, so you guys could formulate this into a budget, and they have to hold through a year afterwards. What assurances have we got from the contractors who quoted these, or the multiple people specifically quoted that you have several quotes from, that are they held through the end of the year, then we have to place a purchase order, or is it, how are those quoted so we know that we don't have to delay half of a project, or we have to take money from some other project and put it in that project? I guess that's my concern on how accurate some of these numbers are, especially on the critical aspects where there's a lot of labor involved and a lot of material. So if anyone can answer
that. Yeah, so I mean, that is the issue, right, is that we're getting these quotes and estimates so far in advance that we have to set prepare for the budget. We do take those quotes and estimates and add a 10 to 15% contingency on top of it, because likely prices are going to go up. The problem is that when prices go up 30, 40, 50%, and we just can't account for it. I mean, it's talking just honestly, it's kind of lose-lose, right? Because if we budget too much, now it kind of looks like we're over-budgeting so we can pool and move money between projects, but isn't the case. If we budget too little, then we kind of get stuck where we have to come back to you guys and either tell you the project's delayed or that we need to go out and get more funding. There is no crystal ball in regards to trying to predict that. If we started to raise the budget for all of these light projects, somewhere down the line, other projects are going to get pushed out that we can't bond for and further decrease the line of available bonding limits. So we kind of work within the limits that we have of, we know a bonding limit, we set the projects within there, we go off of good numbers that we have at the time, but we can't predict the future on when they go up and things change. I mean, the same thing if we bid and something comes in lower, it's great. I mean, we can give that money back to the fund, not bond for it, or repurpose it for a different project in case something does go over.
And if I can add, most of our projects are publicly bid projects, so the quotes we get are just a budget quote. That's all we can use those for, because that is just an estimate. That's the estimate we go off from, and we review our other bids that we've gotten for the year to try to put an estimate together. But those projects still have to be publicly bid, so therefore you're opening it up to all contractors. So you can't go back to the quote you got, because that was just a budgetary estimate that we've talked to contractors to get a rough idea from. They're not a quote we can hold steady for 90 days. It's just, that's not how these are done. That's not how they're estimated.
Okay, so in asking that, so inflation is, it's certainly not what it was the past 18 months, 24 months, but it varies. You know, we don't have a 3.5%, 4% inflation rate on a lot of it, the labor-related high, you know, that's coming in. So you guys feel confident that the numbers that we're getting for some of these key things that had to get postponed and then other things that are on here that are major you've built in, that extra cushion that we're not having to only do half of a job this year.
So, I mean,
you guys feel confident?
Yeah, that is our hope. And kind of speaking to that, if you flip the page over to kind of what you're referring to, page 12, Brookside, we threw an extra 200 grand in specifically for that generator. Now, the numbers that we have in front of us at that 1.7, 1.8 range are still what we're kind of expecting. But because there's such a far lead time to when this is going to be delivered and installed, we have to try and think in advance. And that's why you see the increase here. The generator that we're putting in here at KCC has come in over budget. So seeing that trend, we're trying to plan efficiently, proactively into the future and add additional funds here. So hopefully this 200 covers any increase that we see there. If not, we don't bond for it, and hopefully we're all good.
Yeah, there's the other aspect of this is last year was less expensive to borrow money. This year is more expensive than the previous year. Next year will be more expensive because it's, you know, there's, I don't anticipate, I'm sure the people who look at this are not seeing interest rates going down. So if we miss, I would rather, my personal preference is that we be a little over on the more critical aspects, because, you know, the piping at Brookside last year was a safety issue for that building and the residents there and all the equipment that's there partly, right? It was a sprinkler system, The same thing with the generator, and that had to do with other time delay issues. But it seems like on stuff that's more safety related, not maybe pointing at the Kemper Center or steal some example like that where it's not critical to add more cushion to that, maybe not as much cushion to some things that aren't public safety related. I just don't want to get in that situation again where we can't finish your job. So if you guys feel confident there's more than enough to cover that, then I'll trust your judgment on that. I think that's all I have.
Supervisor Michonne.
Thank you for recognizing me.
You can speak up too.
I'm going to reciprocate that as well. You guys have microphones, but they're low gain, so 2 inches is about all they'll pick up, so it's very difficult to hear sometimes. In any case, can we go to page 96, building improvements? Account 582200. The actual spend in 22 was 2,000,006. The adopted budget in 23, and then a modified budget in 23, it went from 3,000,007 to 7,000,008. Actual spend as of June 30th is 877,000. I extrapolated that out to a full year. That only takes us to 1.754. That's a difference of $6 million. Is there an error in the book, or what happened to $6 million?
Sorry, I was trying to find the page. Are you referring to the 2023 projected being 3.1 and 2024 being proposed at 2.5?
Page 96, building improvements, line 58, 2200.
Yep.
Okay, this is good for
I mean, not that I put on this, I think that's approved the budget, but there is the facility safety building and home services and capital projects that are going to be all kind of cumbersome to this facility's presentation. So, I mean, those are shown on page 14, specifically the budgets that the one make it seem like they're purposely letting you guys go.
Any further questions or discussion? Seeing none. Chief of Governance?
Aye.
Trustee Committee?
Aye.
Okay. We'll move to page 16 in the packet, which is the golf department. Again, a notable line of personnel. This has to do with the proposed additional FTE count that we've already spoken about, the 2023 mid-year comp study results, the annual raises, and the split of the finance positions, which is, again, saving $75,000 of levy because it will be offset by golf revenues. The FICA, we are showing decrease. This is also due to the 2023 FICA alternative plan that went through earlier this year. For golf, I think we were seeing almost a $20,000 decrease in FICA expenses. Interdepartment charges, cost allocation, this is what I was referring to with the finance restructure. The data processing cost, we increased this just because of historical cost. I guess I should say golf, we always budget kind of conservatively. You'll see the trend, obviously starting back in 2020, where it was 4.1, 4.4, 4.4, but prior to that it was 2.8 and 2.9, you know, barely hitting that over the 3 million mark. So we budget conservatively because we can't predict the future of the weather, the play, everything like that. But with that said, seeing the last 4-year trend, we've also increased some of our budgeting. We're still showing this $300,000 increase. This is a part of the capital improvement plan for the course. This is the multi-year, multi-million dollar improvement plan that the golf course will pay back over 10 to 20 years. I will say in our last Public Works Committee meeting, you guys were all privy to seeing the increased rounds over last year at this time, as well as we're seeing the additional $3 per round increase, which is exactly what we're hoping for and looking forward to help pay for some of these capital line items that we'll go to in a second. Actually, I guess we can go to now in case there's any other questions.
Looks like we're reducing, we're increasing our concession stock by 50,000 from this budget to adopted 2023 budget, but yet our concessions projected to be 525,000. This is just a conservative correct. That's all we're doing here.
Right. Okay. We know it's up. We know it's likely going up, but it's just a conservative.
Yeah. Okay.
Just a quick question on the position that we're adding. These are. This is going to be a year-round position, or is it two part-time positions that we're combining into one?
Correct. It would be two year-round positions to help in the summer, obviously, with the increased play and round, but also to help in the wintertime. That's usually when the other full-time employees prior to the simulators would have a lot of time off. Now that the simulators are up and running almost daily, which I think we're going to look at, but they need help in offsetting people's availability and time, so that's what this is going to do. Both be summer and winter without health relief.
So there's additional revenue being generated in the winter off season golf that we didn't have previously then, right? Okay, because okay. That was my main question because I know there's less to do in the winter, so if we're adding full time position that we have work we can do. So.
Yep. They have two simulators, each at Brightfield that run all winter long, which help generate revenue.
Okay. Thank you.
Yes. Those are leaves, right, John? We have leaves off. Is that right, Dale, now?
Yes, that's correct.
One or two simulators? We have
two simulators.
Two simulators. So this really gives a break to what was running it before.
money from those additional simulators, or is it lumped into another line? Just out of curiosity.
We haven't just lumped in with the regular green fees. I mean, within our system, we could pull it. I think we have pulled it on one of the fourth camera up top of my head. Is it 2030?
Yeah, maybe out of curiosity, just maybe future public works committee. I mean, it might be cool to see that separated out, just seeing what we're doing in the winter versus something
else. Yeah, I'll show that.
Okay, thank you.
Good.
4 of page 17, which is the capital for golf. Again, the trend that you've been seeing in the recent years is funding all of the capital from the reserves and profit made within the golf division. That has not changed for 2024, and we actually show that plan through 2025, through 2028 as well. Nothing has changed from the view that you guys got in August, so if there's any questions on any of the capital items, feel free.
Questions on capital improvements for golf, which will be paid for by golf and no longer by the county?
That completes golf for me.
That's it. Okay, if I have a motion to approve by Supervisor Stock for a second.
Second by Supervisor O'Day.
Okay, any further discussion? Seeing none, do the governments.
Aye.
The rest of the committee?
Aye.
Passes. Chris?
All right, we'll move on to page 18, which is the Parks Division. Salaries, yet again. It's the same spiel for the other divisions. The increased 2023 town study results, as well as the new spread of the finance positions. You also see an increase in salaries temporary. This is due to actually having full lifeguard staff for the first time in definitely since COVID hit. I don't know how far before that. You also see the pipe that decreased. This again is due to that pipe alternative plan that was implemented in 2023 for parks. I believe we're seeing closer to like a $12,000 decrease for this. The medical insurance up again based off the county location and individuals' choices. The workers' compensation decreased, which is no different than why it decreased for the other division, which we've spoken on. The miscellaneous contractual services is just decreased based on the current year needs. And you'll see the increase in both machinery and equipment and the fixed assets. The machinery and equipment is a yearly thing that we put together at each division head request and fill out what new, now smaller equipment than 10,000 with the capital adjustment last year between 5 and 10. You'll also notate, which I've spoken on in a couple of the emails, the transfer of the Historical Society contribution being removed from parks, not from the county, but just from parks, and moved into the non-departmental budget, which is on page 351 in the budget book.
Why is there interdepartmental in both under the salaries, as well as, I think that this is before we brought up, as well as now grants and contributions?
It likely falls under the cost allocation line. It's like a 5-9 number that you're looking at.
I'm sorry, what's that?
Is it the 59100 under cost allocation you're referring to? That one's a...
Yeah, I can help you. I'm reading it that way.
Yeah,
cost allocation.
It is a little goofy. It's like the exact same thing, but the difference is that's one of the positions that was part of the A&O contract with the finance position that's in public works. So because it did not mean a county personnel salary line, it's not in that personnel line up with the other 519900. It's down under the cost allocation transfer just because that's where that normally resides in finance.
Okay.
I have a question. I have a question about the property insurance and public liability insurance. Director Collins, maybe could answer this better. Are we covered for like the storm yesterday at Kemper? The pathway was decimated with rocks and stuff like that, and I don't know who's responsible for removing it. But do we have coverage in case someone got hurt on that pathway?
It's a liability insurance question, and we'd have to impose to our insurance company.
Okay, but it would be under the parks budget, though, you would think?
contrary, meaning that evacuated it to stop people from either walking on the trail or cleaning the trail, we have no liability. But if we're told about it, you know, a week later we still have it that way, then we are going to have some liability. So.
Well, and perhaps what I'll do is I'll follow up with Director Collins after the budget meeting to understand if Kemper's holding the liability insurance as well as the county. So I'll follow up with that. Thank you.
Yeah, I was just going to say on the trails that the mountain bike group is required to have some liability insurance for the trails that they have constructed or maintained or deconstructed. Other trails that would be multi-use trails that are taken care of by the county, there's the immunity, but if the mountain bike group doesn't take care of the trails and something's to get rid of the they would be negligible. There's a number of lawsuits that could put into that. They settled out on board or settled in Florida. But it depends who's responsible for the trailer. But my hope is that CAMBA has liability insurance for the appropriate amount of whatever's required in that MOU.
Go ahead.
Chris, you said that the Historical Society. So the contribution is not pulled from the parks budget?
For 2024 would be. In 2023, it still resides there, but in 2024, it's proposed. It's the same dollar amount, $145,000.
So it's going to be categorized differently?
It's just in a different department. Parks doesn't really have any affiliation with it, and to kind of help offset some of the finance transfers that DPW has taken on, this helps kind of push it off to a different division that is more reasonably forward.
Waste management contribution is now $75,000 plus $150,000. Is that going to continue to go down?
So, no, that was actually an error from last year. The numbers in which those reside have flip-flopped. It's always been $75,000. The $150,000 is for the rental revenue share that we get from the third-party entities. It's been on the path, well, it used to be higher years and years ago, but 75 is the number that it was this year, last year, going forward.
Okay.
I'd like to make a motion to, we have a trail maintenance position, which is, I'm not sure if it's half-time or to what, it's not a full-time position. But I'd like to make a motion to convert that position into a full-time park programming position, and I'll explain why if I get a second on that motion.
There a second? Second by Supervisor Steyer. Go ahead.
Yeah, this just goes in line with the First Tee program and the need to find ways to get youth more involved in our county parks. We have a lot of resources in the parks. I think they're underutilized by a lot of youth. In some of the aspects that we have, the Kemper Center, which is not really utilized by anybody in our public, but it's the only city public park. We have a number of employees that are temporary, that are seasonal at all the parks that are 18 or under. We don't have any programs designed specifically for the youth in the county. Our public parks, except for maybe the junior golf program, but that's not the parks, as I just found out. We have to find a way to engage our youth a lot more. We talk about equity, diversity, inclusion, all those types of things, but when we have chronic absenteeism in some of our inner city schools, over 60%, that means they're missing at least 19 days of school. You can look at schools in the county and they have virtually no chronic absenteeism. When you look at habitual truancy in our inner city schools, some of them they're over 40%, some are over 50% if it's a K-5 school. We have to find ways as a county that we can do all we can to engage these students. We made a huge investment in Uptown with the Uptown Lofts and the improvements down there. There's going to be a children's library down there. The old Brown Bank building is being converted to the Leadership Academy of sorts. This position could work in finding, we have a good summer youth program. We could find ways to fund that through development fund to apply, because we always have openings for seasonal workers, even now we probably do. You know, maybe it's a way to recruit those workers if we have a program, a parks program director. There's lots of opportunities for us to engage our youth in a much more useful way. Some of the outcomes of us, Kenosha County, I'm just giving you statistics, just data, and they paint a picture. Nationally, from 2010 to 2020, nationally our population grew at about 7%. The state of Wisconsin grew at 3.5%. Kenosha County grew at 1.7%. The city of Kenosha grew at less than 1%. We have some real issues. We are not, our school enrollments are declining. People are not picking Kenosha County or the city of Kenosha, which is, you know, almost 100,000 people, maybe over that now. People are not choosing us as a place to live. They're choosing us for a place to work, but not a place to live. And we need to address this, and one of the ways we can do that is by making this a community that's more attractive for our youth, and then we take care of the youth that are already here. When I look at the human cost to some of these kids that are in school, especially within the city of Kenosha, it's upsetting, to say the least, when kids get passed from one grade to the next. And I think whatever we can do, however we can spend our money, and it goes right along with Executive Kirkman's, you know, on our infrastructure. Infrastructure goes to our human capital as well. And how can our parks best serve the human capital in our youth? I think one step in doing that is creating a parks programming person that can help with programming that goes from arts to any other aspect within the park system. There's soccer fields currently, there's volleyball, there's jobs that we need filled all the time through seasonal work. If the summer program works, there's no reason why it isn't going to work. We can fund that position with the current tax levy dollars. We can also fund that with either tax levy dollars, or we can fund it through the Parkland Development Fund. There's lots of alternatives to do that. I just think we miss an opportunity by not utilizing our parks more and working with other stakeholders that have the same vested interest, whether it's the city of Kenosha, which is the lead with Catherine Marks on this Brown Bank building conversion and creating that leadership academy, or some of the other programs they do within the city parks, or what Kenosha Unified does with some of their summer recreation programs. I think there's opportunities for us to do more, because unfortunately, here's the outcome. These kids aren't going to school. They're ending up in our juvenile court intake, which we spent, I believe our budget is $1.1 million. They're ending up, we have a gang intervention specialist, which we spend money on. We have social workers that we have that deal with these children. We are spending money on the back end of things, and we don't spend enough money on the preventive type of things. This would be a prevention in helping these kids find other alternatives to do. It gives them a positive response. And if we have a responsibility for public safety, which was the number one list on the county executive, it goes more than just law enforcement and sirens. It has to go, we have to create a culture of safety with our children as well. Safety applies to them having a future. We're not talking about all the kids, we're talking about small percentages, but it affects our long-term budget and our costs. Our law enforcement has gone up 10% in employees over the last 10 years. Our crime hasn't gone down 10%. We have to do something different if we want to make a difference in our community. I think we can do some of these things starting in the parks and create a different culture of what our parks are for certain aspects of our community.
Anybody else? Go ahead, Jay.
As a youth in Kenosha County, as well as a student at MKUSD, I do believe it is important to increase the youth's role in the parks and for our accessibility in the parks. I do not believe that replacing the trail maintenance specialist would best serve that purpose. I believe in keeping the trail maintenance position, as trails are very important to youth as well, and the utilization of those trails are important to the accessibility as well as the enjoyment of our park system. And while there can be many ways to get inner city as well as just youth across the county in accessing and using the programs of these parks, it is probably best to keep keep that position and not rather convert it into another position, which I believe can be viewed as another time. That's not working right now.
Anybody else?
I will say that I think that's a lot of great ideas that were mentioned for a position in our county parks. I believe it should come through at a different time as a resolution, so the committee has a better opportunity to discuss job description, talk to HR about the proper pay scale, and those type of things. I think that should come through the Public Works Committee separately, maybe as a resolution, so that we can hash out all those details and see if that is a good fit for our county. But to add a position and take away a completely unrelated position at a budget meeting, I don't think we're able to do our due diligence. I would not support any of that tonight.
Professor Stocker?
After hearing the whole process here,
Mike.
I think the battery's dead. After hearing the whole discussion here, I think that this position would be best and serve the most people if it was done by the city. So I prefer to see it go that way. Thank you.
Any further discussion? All right, we have a motion and a second.
Somebody.
Oh, I'm sorry. Supervisor Decker. Vice Chair Decker.
Thank you. Through the chair to Supervisor Thomas, where in the budget is this position you're speaking of? Because I don't see it on page 118 that you want to remove.
Yeah, I was actually going to make a Supervisor. I was going to make a comment that you actually technically can't remove a seasonal position. You can lower the seasonal dollar amount, but that doesn't necessarily tie directly to that seasonal position of the trail coordinator. So I guess if you don't have to make an amendment to the motion to decrease salaries, although it, again, is not specifically tied to the trail maintenance position, and would be also to increase a separate position of the parks program. Sorry for interrupting.
No, that's
if it finishes.
I just want to make sure I understand. So if I have to make another motion, I have to eliminate a seasonal position, and then I have to create full-time.
It wouldn't be a position. Technically, there's not seasonal positions to
be cut. Just a set amount of money.
It would be, you would want to reduce the seasonal dollar line limit by X dollar amount. But
if we can't get a result here, I'll try to bring it up in finance in the coming week.
Supervisor Shaw, you had your hand up.
I was trying to get attention for Supervisor Decker. I'm not sure if he's done it, then I did.
Oh, you did a good job. I saw you all.
So
do we have a legitimate? Oh, go ahead.
Does that mean the motion is not in order?
That's what I was going to ask.
I was just going to say, just like in the previous one, now that I'm a little better educated on where, how the money is shifted, I'll redraw that. But I do want to, I'll redraw the motion.
Withdraw the second, okay.
I do want to point out, though, prior to just a handful of years ago, for the previous probably 80 years, we had trails in the parks without a trail maintenance person assigned to them.
Okay.
Appreciate
more to talk about it.
That covered it for the operational standpoint. If there's no other questions for that, we can flip to page 19, which is the park capital. From what you saw in the August meeting, there was only two adjustments. One, increasing the parkland development funds, and that's just because of the newly proposed beer garden at Old Settlers Park. The way that is currently written up is those third-party entities who we have contracts with would receive some sort of a revenue share. So we adjusted the budget to show that. And the other change is to the Silver Lake Park Road parking lot replacement. Originally, that had $250,000 from 2024 through 2028. It has been pushed back to start in 2026.
done to the shoreline yesterday at Kemper. It's probably the worst I've ever seen it. And there was another piece that fell away. If we keep pushing this project down the road, it's going to cost us more time in a plant, more money in planning, because the plan is going to change year over year. And it's going to cost us more money in the long run, because now we have the city that has fixed the shoreline revetment around Kemper, and so Kemper is the sole spot for deterioration. And we spent $4 million on Anderson Art Center, and the shoreline is getting extremely close to Anderson. And I'm just asking, please, to get a plan. If we have to do it piece by piece or section by section, I think we need to do that and stop pushing this down the road. So I'm disappointed it's not in the budget. I know that our company executive is working really hard on trying to find the funds for it, but I think that this has to be a priority going into next year. Thank you.
Supervisor Thomas?
Yeah, I'd like to make a motion to, I don't know what the right word would be, to remove the Pike River Phase 2 from the CIP budget.
I think it's Phase 3.
Yeah, Phase 3.
That's a part of the line.
Yeah, is that a removal or is that you'd have to reduce the funding?
That would be a removal.
Is there a second? I don't see a second, so yeah. Motion dies. Anything else?
That is all that I had for parks. There is some other informational pages behind in your packet on page 20 and 21 that does give some more detail into the Pike River Phase 3, as well as on page 20 and 22 is what we kind of have as a forecasted activity for use of those park bank funds. That is all I have for parks.
That's all.
Yeah, I'd like to make a motion to remove the funding for the Kemper Center utilities.
That's an agreement.
I don't think you can do it. Is that not a...
It's an MOU.
We voted on it last year. We thought it was out of the
MOU. You can't take it out. It's an MOU.
I thought that was in a contract.
It is.
It's in an MOU.
Pardon?
It's in an MOU to override the lease that was voted. It wasn't voted on by the board. That's an MOU.
Patty,
I have to review that when you go off the top of my head. I don't know if that's a requirement that we have.
Yes, it's a memorandum of understanding.
It has to go to finance anyway. I can smoke a lot of
it. That's that way, Mark.
We'll look at it.
Okay. All right. Is there a motion to accept the parks?
Motion to approve.
Motion by Belsky, second by. Any further discussion? See no discussion. Youth and Governance, single.
Aye.
And rest of the committee?
Aye.
Okay, everyone's favorite item.
Yes, this year, again, in personnel and interdepartment charges line, same as what you've heard for the last budgets, increased with the 2023 conference results and the new finance reorganization. You do also see proposed, it doesn't necessarily have a budget impact, but there is a proposed personnel line of restructuring the mechanic position within highways, taking the mechanic line and creating it into a mechanic one, a mechanic two. The mechanic one would be one position above what the current mechanic line is in the count in the wage class, and the mechanic two would be two up. This is to try and incentivize obviously the mechanics to stay here, become knowledgeable, and for that would be incentivized with a higher wage premium. There is no change in FTE count. It would still sit at the same six or seven total mechanics that we have. The shop lead would become a mechanic too, so that position would disappear, but it would simply a transfer, not a removal of. You'll also see in the personnel line that the casual increased. This was actually due to a holiday and PTO change that we made 2 years back and didn't see, I won't call it the repercussions, but the changes that it had within the budget. Prior, all highway employees now, besides when they switched to second shift, work a 4-10-hour shift. They were all using 2 hours of PTO when they were working 10 hours for every holiday to offset the 10-hour holiday. Otherwise, it would be 2 hours of unpaid or would have to make it up somewhere else. We made the transition to make that 10-hour holiday for those guys so they could save the PTO and use it elsewhere. It went over great with the morale down there, but it also did have a change to the budget line, and that's what you're seeing in this 2024 budget. The other ones that we've already kind of notated, medical insurance, workers' comp, both decreased and for highways, decreased based on individual selections and the county allocation. The miscellaneous contractual services and other operating supplies, those increased just based on workload requirements. Much of this is offset by the revenue that they receive when they do work for the state or do work for the townships. They get that money back. The fuel, obviously since when COVID hit and fuel was down at $1 a gallon, those times are long gone. We're adjusting to meet the market. Hopefully we're on par for that this year. Sign parts, we've increased this due to the higher quality signage. Those blinking stoplights or stop signs that you guys see a lot of times on the county road, for instance, are solar ones. Those aren't cheap, and we have a plan to kind of replace between 5 to 8 a year, and that's why you're seeing an increase in that sign line item. The salt inventory, currently our sheds are full. We have no idea what the winter is ready to hold, but odds are that unless we get absolutely slammed, we'll knock on wood somewhere. The money that we have proposed in the budget should more than cover what we need for next year specifically to get through the two winter seasons. The increase based on the liability insurance, again, that's something that's given to us from finance based off their allocations. And then the states and townships, we have just decreased slightly based off of kind of what we've seen historically from them. We will notate, last year the big bogey that highways did have as kind of a cushion was those GTA funds. We didn't get notified until a little bit later in the budget process. As promised, last year I think we were off almost $500,000 short, which is actually good because it gives us a budget kind of a little buffer. This year we did do our own in-house calculation. We got it extremely close. We were a little under compared to what the revenue was going to show, $60,000 under. So we'll either have to make that up in less expenses or more revenue somewhere else. But it is a great sign. I don't think we've ever been within $60,000 on that number. It's always been a crapshoot. Sometimes it's several $100,000 short, just like last year. This year we're really close to it. So it's really good to see that we're on there for when that budget starts to change the other way, it starts to go down because it's computed off of a lot of our highway projects, which Highway S has greatly increased that. When those numbers start to fall off of a 6-year history of it, either that number could start going down and we'll have a good calculation to kind of try and predict that.
been all I had for operations. If there's any questions for operations.
Questions on operations? Go ahead, Supervisor Thomas.
And this is out of forgetfulness and partly ignorance. So in this revenue, I know the state pays us to do snow plowing. Is that built into this?
Yeah, it would be a part of that number.
$8 million number?
Yeah. Any work that's done on any state road, whether it's plowing, mowing, whatever, is all reimbursed out of that.
Is that, are they keeping up with inflation and how they reimburse us or pay us to do that?
It's dollar for dollar. Whatever we spend is what they reimburse.
Do we actually count? Because I would imagine they do the same thing in all the counties or similar. So is there a flat fee regardless if you're Grant County or Kenosha County?
I can't say for certain, but I would say that if they go out and plow the road for 8 hours or 16 hours, that person is being reimbursed for the 8 or 16. It's not like they're reimbursing at $100,000, and if you go over, it's all on you, or if you go under, it's extra for you. To my knowledge, it's all reimbursed. Whatever you spend is what you receive back.
I would say not positively to Chris's response.
Okay, thank you, Matt.
Any other questions on operations? Go ahead. Hold on. Supervisor Shaw.
Just a simple one. What fuel charge are you using?
What fuel charge?
Per gallon.
So it gets
I'll ask the question differently. Is it uniform across all?
No, the highway bids out their fuels every time that they need to re-up, I'll say it. And that quantity in the dollar per gallon is inputted into our system and averaged out. So whatever we end up paying for is what we get back from the other divisions, plus there's an administrative rate that gets put into it. The equipment rate that we get reimbursed from the state and townships also include some type of fuel charge reimbursement. When COVID hit, a great example of that is the fuel charges went down, and the state has adjusted our equipment rates a couple of times, and the reverse effect is in 22 or 1, whenever they skyrocketed up, they also adjusted for the rates then.
So when you're building budget, though you're building off the prior year assumption, so you're saying we used 10,000 gallons of regular fuel last year at an average rate of 330 gallons. This year we took 360 gallons, and we factor that to come up with assumption. Or what number are you using?
So
the reason I asked the other way is just going up there and judiciary law for the sheriff's department. And the question was asked, was enough money allocated? So I just want to make sure we have consistent methodology.
So when fuel prices were going crazy and last year we were worried that we made both budget by 200-300 grand, we did like a 5-year analysis of what specifically the highway department was using in purchasing the fueling to help gauge where we would end at the end of the year. We also have that same analysis for this year, in which we're budgeting this year at roughly what we expect to see as of the end of this year, if that makes sense. So the 560 is where, at my last projections when I updated that, which was likely about a month ago, I was seeing an end of year possibility of around 560, and I believe that's what we put the budget in for.
So you have a formulated policy for it?
We tried to put some math into it, but obviously it's still a crapshoot.
And then I went to Ms. Supervisor Thomas's question, I think, was parsed a little bit differently than the answer that he accepted. I think his question was, does Racine County bill at the same rate or get paid at the same rate as we bill and get paid from the state, or is it independent and we establish a number based on what we see as appropriate? There's not a formula or a methodology for the state to define
not for the state. So the state, again, it's dollar for dollar and there's an admin rate that they give out. That admin rate can't change for the state. Whatever they said of that is what we reimburse to get, or what we bill to get reimbursed at. We do realistically have the possibility to change that to townships or other things like that, so that discussion could be a little different. But in regards to the state,
whatever we spend is what we're going to get back. And it should be the same for every county. There is no difference that I know.
And I had brought up the fuel usage and judiciary laws Supervisor Shaw was talking about here. It's only $5,000 less than what projected to be this year. If you go back to actual 2022, we were $583,000 plus. We budgeted $525. Looks like we're going to use $570 this year. We're at $565 in the budget. So I think we're more zeroed in than what I felt were judiciary law. Or judiciary law has the hybrid vehicles coming in, which, you know, makes sense that it would probably be less. Do we also have, maybe Clint can comment on this, do we have fuel saving practices in place? We've talked to the sheriff and said, yeah, we've got to retrain our patrols to turn those engines off when they're just sitting there, you know. And I know diesels are different than regular gasoline powered stuff, but are there any types of fuel saving processes that we can, if we aren't using, can use, and if we do have, how to use them?
Yeah, I think basically telling off the engine when it's not being used is what we typically do. Generally, go out to the field when they're doing their work.
Yeah.
Only the equipment that are being used are on, and the other ones are off.
Okay. So it's just a matter of them following protocol.
Yes, looking over the budgeted equipment list, we have.
I don't think Chris has brought it up yet.
Okay, well, when you get that, you're talking about the capital amount of 530050.
I just have a question. So when we did 142, the bike path is next to that. What budget did that bike path fall into? So are all the paved bike paths that are along the side of the road or someplace, are those under highways?
Correct.
Okay, so I hate to go back, but I believe in the Parks Department we can address it at a different time. So for capital expenditures that deal with that, then that should be in highways. Would that be correct?
No, the trail system is managed by parks. However, it is more, makes more economic sense to construct it within this part of the, as part of the highway, because it's more economical. Okay. And at the same time, it's the best time to construct the trails off-road at that time.
Okay, because I just want to understand the difference. So when we're, I'm going to go back to the parks budget, what they're proposing like for 2025 and forward is in this Thielen quarry area that you're donating land so we can build a trail. That's in the Parks Department, but since 142 was the only side of a highway that we were redoing, it got put in the highway budget.
It depends on where it's located. So if it's an off-road bike trail that is adjacent to a county trunk highway and could be constructed when the construction of that highway is done, it's put in the highway department capital improvement. But if it's an off-road strictly for recreational, there's no other road work going on, you're going to see that in the park budget. So because that one wouldn't have work associated with the roadway, it's being placed in the park budget. Because that's where the ultimate operation and maintenance side is in the park budget. It just it has better unit pricing when we kind of combine it into a higher budget.
Part. I was just curious because I understood that the other one was part of the highways, and I didn't understand. So that was the question: why it was in parks and not in highways? That's all. Thank you.
Any other questions before we move on to capital?
Thank you.
Yes, Christmas here.
Okay. Page 2024 is the equipment for the highway capital. The only changes that you're seeing here at the post in August is a decrease in both the single and triaxle trucks, each from 600,000 to 300,000. The reason for this is, again, supply chain issues. The highway department is actually looking for other avenues other than continually waiting for build slots. The shop superintendent actually did recently just take a drive out to Minnesota, who may possibly have extra trucks that they ordered and cannot pay for. So they want to spec it out. We obviously want to do a cost comparison between what it would cost us in our build slot versus what they're asking for. And in doing so, if we were to be able to purchase those, we still want to have money available for one or two full trucks for the build slot that continually seems to keep getting pushed away. But whenever we actually make it, we want to be able to take advantage of it.
Have we gotten those trucks in that we ordered 3 years ago, I think?
We're still waiting. We have not ordered trucks from 2022 or 2023.
And we're still waiting on those?
They are not taking orders.
Yeah, we're still waiting for the build slots on those.
Yeah, okay.
The other trucks, like the vacuum trucks, the service trucks, those have POs and are processes of being built. It's more of these single axle, tri-axles, tandem axles that you just can't get slots to build.
So they don't have anything that we have on order, we can cancel the order if you don't have it right away.
Right.
Okay. All right. Supervisor Stein, any questions?
Yeah, just looking at the equipment list, this is the looking at the summary winter usage that you have on the next page. I'm assuming you guys have it. Do you look at, when you're buying mowers and stuff, but do you look at the tractor type equipment with the attachments that you can both use in the summer and the winter? So that you're able to use some of the equipment year-round. I'm not sure, as far as like the snow removal for sidewalks, they make a lot of the snowblower attachments for the tractors, so you can use that year-round. Is that something you guys have kind of assessed, looked at when you're purchasing and planning on those equipment?
I can't answer, but
I'm not sure. I can check and get back to you, but I don't think we're doing that. I think we're focusing mostly on the trailer.
Most of the highway mowing is just roadside ditches, so it's more that tractor type allows that maneuverability, I should say, with the ditch line, but that's not what we can always look at alternates.
Because what are we using, clearly, like the sidewalks and all our facilities and that kind of stuff? Are we using just walk lines, or are we using rayons, that type of equipment?
Yeah, I don't have the detail. I can follow up with you.
Yeah, I mean, Matt can certainly answer that. I think they use more skid steers and things along those lines.
So for the Civic Center, we use a articulated manual or the Avant. That one does not have an attachment for lawn. We did look at possibly a tool cat, bobcat, but the wheelbase was a little large, and we didn't feel it would fit on the sidewalks over the edge. The city currently uses one, and if you see where he mows, he's over the edge and he goes to the grass, which we don't want to go to the courthouse. So we have looked at it.
Okay.
We just haven't gone there.
Okay. Just curious.
Yeah.
Any other questions?
We can flip to page 26, which is the highway capital projects. This is more of a page number. On page, this. On page 28, you'll get like a breakdown of what makes up that 4.224 number. It does include 13 miles at $225,000 a mile, as opposed to the $200,000 a mile that you've previously seen, as well as culverts, which have been in all the previous budgets. These are the bigger culverts that our highway crews are not able to replace. As well as new this year is traffic signal upgrades. This is an upgrade to the traffic signals that Culture County maintains. I'm concerned to speak on it better, but it allows for better, more proactive response to when the signals have issues. You can get alerted electronically rather than being alerted when somebody calls or when they do their annual inspection. Anything further?
No, I think, yes. Basically, we're trying to make you signal monitor.
And then what you'll see with the 389, this is other developed, other departmental needs.
parks go. If they have issues with parking lots, things of those nature, this is where this money comes into play. Specifically in the 2024, in the August meeting, there was a line of $350,000 that was offset by quote-unquote carryover reserves. It wasn't really like an actual way to have it presented in the budget, but it's not gone. It's just within this paving budget, if that makes sense. In the August meeting, it was in the facilities capital. It's not removed, but in highway. That was always the intention. It was just a little confusing as how it was put on there. The only notable difference to this budget as opposed to August is the ARPA funding, $1.25 million to help offset these paving operations. There was ARPA that went into the paving for 2023 to help offset, and this is, again, using up some of those funds.
It looks like the IMW state line to state stock, is it? A little bit around the city. That was looked like it was a 2024 project. We did a couple of public informational meetings. It looks like now it's being pushed off to 2025. Are we going to see any significant changes in what it was that we were talking to them about?
No. The reason why it was pushed back was because of the tricolor flags becoming an endangered species, and we are required now to do what they call an investigation or a review of that area regarding the tricolor bats.
Yeah. And I thought that was going to be a very quick study and over very quickly.
No,
not the case.
Not the case.
You move to my backyard, they have the same environment there if we need to.
Yeah, so we're still waiting for them to see if they could allow us to do some sort of truncated study, and we're still waiting for that. And because of that, we're not sure exactly when the deadline. So it's just safe to say we're going to do it in 2025, and then something's out in February.
Are we going to need another? I can say that for another meeting. Okay, thank you. President.
I was going to say that's all I really have, other than maps that behind it that show 2023's paving for your guys, obviously, use and knowledge of, and then what is proposed in 2024, which is on page 29. Again, these are subject to change, but this is the plan as the Highway Department sees fit right now.
So,
Supervisor
Thomas,
you have
a question?
Is this the last year we're squeezing any blood out of the stone up this ARPA money? Is this the last year we'll see this in the budget?
So the rules on ARPA are they have to be expended by the end of 24 or obligated by the end of 24 and expended by the end of 26. This does not totally deplete. There are still some areas of unknowns. For example, in our ARPA plan, we had one set aside for Brookside. Brookside does not need that money. That money will be able to be utilized in the 25 budget. We won't know until we close out the year, and we'll close out in April, as to how much Brookside needs. So there are some little pockets of ARPA, but for the most part, it's depleted with this budget. There's just some potential. And that would be obligated in the 25 budget, which is an allowable obligation and use of funds.
Okay. I heard most of what you were saying. So some of the ARPA money is earmarked for Brookside? Okay, did I just overlook it, or is it not in the budget?
It's not in the budget because we don't know how much. So it's not identified in the budget. We do that ARPA allocation for Brookside when we do closeout in April, because then they've closed their year and we know where they are. Right now, when the budget was put together, Brookside had a larger loss than they have now because they're beginning to whittle that away, and we're hoping they'll be breaking
okay, so we have the money set aside for Brookside to handle their deficit right now.
Correct.
So if they, we'll say by January, they're on a break-even basis, what do you think that would leave us with?
Currently, we have $1.275 allocated for Brookside and for potential deficit.
So theoretically, we could have $500,000 left over if they're breaking even.
We will have a better understanding when we close out the year as to what
Okay, so whatever that money's left, we can, at that point, we'll go back to finance and they'll decide how to allocate that.
It would be put into the 25 budget, which would pass in 24, so those funds would be obligated before the end of 24.
Okay, all right. Thank you for the explanation. So we will see it again on another budget.
Any other questions? Any motion to?
Motion to approve.
Second, also to approve. O'Day's the second. Any further discussion? Seeing no further discussion, youth and governance.
Aye.
Rest of the committee?
Aye.
All right. This is Jerry. Thank you, Chris. Great job. First time out. Soloing.
Yes, thank you.
Congratulations on the vote.
Thank you.
Okay, it looks like motion to adjourn.
Motion to adjourn. Second.
You can catch that.
I know it's okay.
Yeah.